It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And here we go, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Good to see my partner, my buddy, back from multiple assignments.
You've been on a few of them, too.
I've been on some assignments as well.
It's always good to be back.
Yeah, we're back, and obviously a lot to talk about here in January. Cold weather in the mix, and obviously a lot of what we'll talk about is deer hunting right now. The rut, at least for me, the rut's wide open.
I mean, yeah, everybody I talk to.
I mean, it's my deer rut more like deer in the Black Belt, so come after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's, they're really cruising, and it's been chasing.
You're in Mobile County.
Yeah, but it's been
chasing. That's unusual.
It's been chasing for a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on.
Yeah. Everybody I talk to, same thing.
And then when
they're killing.
And we want to get the span of everything going on with the runt, we bring in our buddy Jay Graddick from Skinner's Wild Game Processing, because so many deer got to come through Skinner's, he knows what's going on, man. Hey, what's going on, Professor?
Man, it's wide open.
Yeah, it is wide open.
About the last 5 days, it's been a lot of big bucks at the ground Skinner.
It has been. You're going to say, and you draw, at Skinner's, you're getting deer in, not just from Clark. I mean, you get deer in from a lot of different counties.
Yes, we do. We Marengo, Choctaw, Clark, up around Safford and those areas over there, Wilcox County. We have a good range of customers.
That's what I like about it. Mike and I's opinions are important, but
it's the guy specific.
Very specific to where we're hunting versus Jay's getting them from where he hunts and all these other counties around there. So you're seeing it not just, where you hunt, you're seeing it in that greater area. Rut's pretty much open everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I'll give you. There's a couple of properties that a couple of customers came in this week, and they're like, man, we're just not seeing much action on our place. But that's rare right now. I don't know what the reason is. I don't know I don't know why. But for the most part, it's ramping up, and it's ramping up big time. And I'm going to tell you guys, I haven't seen so many big bucks. I keep asking myself year after year, where in the world are all these big bucks coming from? And I know I'm not the only processor. I know over in Camden and these other places, they got to be covered up also. But if you go in my cooler and look, and compared to 10, 12 years ago, the size of the carcasses in there is just off the chain, man.
So what do you think that contributes to?
I don't really know, Mike. I don't know if the 3-buck limit is part of that. I don't know if people are just more selective because they have camera, intel that they're, maybe passing or just what it is. But I tell you what, this year, for some reason, from 205 to as much as 230 body weights, I haven't seen so many bucks as I've seen this year. And I hadn't been there all the time.
Right.
But we had one, what was it? Sunday, I think it was. It bumped at 230.
That's
another one, 220 something. Yeah,
and that's free range deer. That's not fenced deer.
No, sir, that's free range deer.
Okay,
range deer.
Yeah, I wonder if it's not like you start going down the list. I wonder if it's just not all those things, right? Because people getting older age class deer. Generally, like letting them walk, and because of cameras, they can. We had a conversation, guys, to hunt with me the other day. I'm like, look at this one. He's a 6, but he's 170 pounds. Y'all can kill him.
Yeah.
Here's a 9-point that's 130 pounds. Y'all don't kill him. That kind of conversation. So we're getting, I think, that older age class selective. And I'll tell you, even where I am, it's not as much, they're present because they drift onto me, but where I hunt, the people that have protein, and I'm in sandy, longleaf soils, but they're feeding protein. They're killing 200-pound bucks.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just, I mean, not, not pretended. I mean, they got the digital scale sending me pictures. Hey, we got this one last night.
It cost them a lot of money.
It does cost them a lot of money. But they are creating.
And we talk about $100,000 plus.
Yes, yeah.
A year.
Yeah. Their bucks are $200, $215.
Yeah. It works. There's no question about it.
A big one that stays on me is 100. I killed 178 last year.
Yeah.
Mobile County.
That's a good deer.
Pretty chunky deer, but that's no 230. That's something.
With no foreman around you.
Right.
You don't have. Well, you got a little bit.
Peanuts and cotton.
A little bit, yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe it's a combination, Jay, of all those things.
Well, you're exactly right. But don't underestimate this tag system we have now helping out, too, because I know $3, we'd run past that by Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, back in the day, there's some guys that. Not everybody, but there's enough of them to hurt an area. You know, they're killing $15-$20 a year.
Yeah.
And, but that was back in the day when we were I think the term is mad at them. We weren't mad at them. We were damn, you know, we had a vengeance after them jokers. So, but anyhow, I think a little of that's helped out. I think, you know, our long season, I think our long season has helped out. That extra 10 days is, you know, we had Christmas and New Year's fell right in the middle of the week. And so you had two good weekends at least in there. You had some people took vacation. They had 2 weeks off. And but then right after that, it died. I mean, it just people didn't hunt. And our weather wasn't the greatest in the world.
Yeah, 70 degrees. Yeah.
Right. But people were burnt out going hunting. I mean, you take a piece of property and, you know, if you hunt that same, you know, 500 acres, 1,000 acres or whatever it is, and you're in there for multiple days in a row, well, every day that you're in there, it just seems like the odds of deer movement being good go downhill the longer you're there. So, you know, giving them a break of about a week and then here we go again. But I tell you what, this weather right now, the nature is doing its thing. You probably had some does that are getting bred like right now.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those early does that are coming in, you're going to have your peak in early February. Our state biologists, you know, they proved that years ago. That's how we got our longer season. And it's on, guys. I mean, the body weights are going to start going downhill. The deer are going to start, you know, the movement and the constant, you know, going after the does and not worrying about eating so much and that kind of thing. It's going to kind of go downhill. I tell you right now, a good tactic right now, and trust me, I would forbid somebody to come on my property and start rattling in November. But right now, it's a good tactic.
So why do you say that, Jay?
Well, you know how it is, Mike, right now, these bucks, they're not in their bachelor groups anymore, pretty much. They're broke up. You might have maybe two running together, two older ones that might be running together. They just happen to be buddies. But for the most part, these bucks are ready to, they're ready to tangle. They're ready to get competition going over these does. And so rattling right now is good, whereas back in early part of the year, you might get one every now and then, but it's just, why educate your deer herd to a guy sitting over there rattling when you can do it now and it'd be way more effective?
Yeah.
But anyway, calling to deer in general. You know, another thing, Mike, we're going to back up a little bit. Remember, in the 80s and 90s, we didn't have all these cameras to mess with and all that. We certainly didn't have bait piles.
No.
But we had scrape lines. We hunted scrape lines and rub lines.
We hunted in the woods back in those. At least I did. I didn't go to green fields. I didn't fool with green fields. We had some on our club. I didn't go. I've hunted in the woods.
Yeah, the green fields in my when I was growing up was for the kids and the ladies and whatnot.
Right.
And but I'm climbing a tree if I can. Back in those days, they're sitting. You know, I've shot a couple of big bucks sitting at the base of a tree, you know.
Sure.
But yeah, you know, the art of, I'm going to call it an art, it's just the experience of reading buck sign. When you find a rub or scrape and you're able to look at that and say, you know what, that joker right there, he he might have the, you don't have any idea what his rack looks like, but you know how aggressive he is. And you can look at it and say, yeah, this joker here, he's fired up, and more than likely he's not a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
More than likely he's got a little age on him, maybe.
The beauty of cameras is you can stick a camera on that scrape and see how many bucks come and see if there's any big ones coming to it. Because there's going to be more than one coming to it, typically. And you can find out if there's going to be if there's a big one coming through there regularly.
That's right. Absolutely, you could do that.
Yeah, cameras have changed everything about the way people hunt. It makes them, sometimes it gets them real excited and they want to go every day. Sometimes they look at cameras and say, I ain't going this week. There's nothing there, you know?
Well, I tell you what else cameras will do for you. Now's the time, Sean, you said it earlier. All of a sudden you got these deer showing up that you didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that I've got a couple of different thoughts about the camera. And I could get into a long conversation one day about two bucks that I know of that for 3 years this one buck never went to a feeder.
Hey, and hold on to that, because we're right up against commercial break. So let's remember that. We're going to come back and talk more about that. It's our buddy Jay Graddick from Skinner's Wild Game Processing. And by the way, too, as we've got notes in the mix here, too, I got the heads up yesterday. Mobile Boat Show is coming up on that last Friday, Saturday, Sunday of February.
Good.
So after Mardi Gras. So we've got a heads up there. We'll talk more about that going forward. Coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, our buddy Jay Graddick from Skinner's Wild Game Processing. Of course, we're talking deer. Although, I'll wait till next week to throw some duck stuff into the mix. But I will talk deer on today's show. And, Jay, before we went to the break, too, you said cameras. You were talking about cameras. You were thinking about a couple different bucks and how they got killed because of the camera or didn't. What were you saying?
Well, what I was saying was that there was three bucks running together at one time on our property. And we had a gentleman that hunted this food plot a lot. And he had a feeder on one end, and the rest of the food plot was grass. Well, this one buck, it was a 10-point, never went to net. We never got a picture of that buck at a feeder for 3 years. But the other two, we did. And so these three deer never showed up until right after the season went out. And so at the end of the third year, I was lucky enough to kill the 10-point about, over a half a mile from where we had gotten a lot of pictures from him. And so what I learned on that is just some deer just, they just don't go. They don't get in front of your camera on a, I call it a bait station or a food pile or whatever you want to call it. And they live on that property. And if you were at Skinner's, if you went up there for a season, especially between now and the end of the year, and the amount of people that bring deer in there, and they'll say, you know, we never had a picture of this deer. Or we had a picture of him 2 years ago, and we hadn't had a picture of him since. And, man, he came walking through there today, and I killed him. So don't let a camera and that little bitty space that camera takes a picture of on your deer hunting property in Alabama, don't let it completely dictate whether or not you go hunting or not, especially from here on out. I mean, now's the time where the odds are, if they're ever in your favor, other than opening day, they're increasingly getting in your favor that if you're out there, you have a better chance of having an interaction with a buck. And it's only going to get better.
What's going to increase your odds is more time you go, the better chance you have to get a one.
That was what I was going to chime in on, because with the wisdom of you two guys, I don't need to say much, but because I run so many cameras and all that, I could sit here and flip through pictures all day long.
Yep.
This time of year. I mean, it's, you know, it's 8:30, it's 9:40, it's 11:15, it's 1:25, yep, it's 2:02, it's 3:58, it's 7, yeah, it's just all day long.
Yeah.
Bucks are pinging cameras, right, like all day long. So if you'd be in the stand at that time, you would kill the deer. You're just going to be there.
That's right.
That's right. Do you guys remember back in the days when we had the magazines, I forget the magazine. It was about Alabama deer hunting or Alabama hunting. And they had a list of the management areas. And they used to have the average man days of hunting to kill a buck listed. You remember that, Mike?
I remember it. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what that was, but I do remember that.
Okay, well, like Barber management area was usually one of the lowest. In other words, every six man days of hunting, somebody killed a buck. So one out of six hunters hunting in a day would kill a buck, basically is what it's saying. And so up there, I was interested in it because we had land that joined the Scotch management area. And the Scotch management area was in there like the top five or so. And back in those days, we didn't have cameras. It was stalk hunting. You had dog days and you had stalk hunts, right?
Right.
And so you didn't even have ladder stands or nothing. You went in there and you just picked you out a place and you either climbed a tree or you slipped around in a clear cut or just, you know, just sat at the bottom of a tree. You hunted differently, but those success rates were fairly high. And I always kind of judged myself, well, heck, they say it takes 12 days. Heck, I'm killing one every 4 days, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, things have changed, but just getting out there in the woods, making memories, you know, putting experience to the test. And you turkey hunters, you know, you when I turkey hunt, you can bet your bottom dollar, when I can run across a good aggressive rub line, I take note of it. Or an old scrape line, you can see the trees are really tore up or whatnot. Don't forget that. If you saw it in the spring, go back into that area and see if it's active right now.
Yeah.
And if it is, now's the time to kind of start hanging in there. You know, the season used to go out at the end of January, so right now it was really picking up. And that third week in January, is there's a lot of bucks kill that third week in January.
Yeah, from here on really is the time. If you're going to hunt, this is going to be the time you're going to hunt. And Jay, you are 100% right. Though all deer do not go to that feeder. You would think that they would, but they don't. Especially this time of year when they go and they might be with a doe and they're not interested in feed. And if that doe don't go to the feeder, he ain't going to the feeder. He's going to go with her. And he's going to try to keep her away from every other doe, every other buck, whatever. He's going to try to get her somewhere away that nobody, no other deer is going to be around her.
Right. They're not social. You know, somebody brought up, people asked, well, would you sit in a green patch or something? No, I ain't sitting in a green patch hoping that a big mature buck's going to walk out there behind a doe.
But it's
probably not going to happen.
But I want to talk about that. So, different stages of the rut, like I said, the cruising really for my deer gets started between Christmas and New Year's. And I'm definitely in the woods hunting then and cruising or road crossings in the woods, that kind of stuff. But as we get further into what I call just the Mardi Gras portion where everything's gone wild, you're still not going to get on a green field. Because that's going to be, you know, my place, I got green fields on power lines where you're going to see the most number of does. My idea is always like, put yourself where the most girls are.
Yeah.
Now, Sean, let's talk greenfield for a minute. If I got a greenfield that's less than 50 yards wide, and it's longer than 50 yards, mm-hmm. in other words, it's a long strip, then if I will just about bar somebody from coming hunting with me if I take them to one of my green patches in November and December, and I find out that they went 100 yards behind my green patch and climbed a tree, because that's not what I want during that time of the year. You just screwed up my green patch for the next 2 weeks. All mm-hmm. right, so, but now is that time. If you've got bucks cruising, that green patch is almost, they will cruise that inside edge of that woodland.
Downwind, yeah.
And they will not step out in it sometimes. There's always that exception of the rule.
Right, but unless they're chasing one. That's what
And I would say, and you'd have to ask this question at Skinner's when they bring the deer in, but I would almost bet you at least 85-90% of the deer that's brought in to you at Skinner's is killed on the green field. You think I'm wrong?
Yes. No, you're not. You're not wrong. Except the exception is this time of the year. Okay, the green patch hunter is pretty much, there won't be as many people hunting green patches right now. Those guys around, I know the guys around Thomasville that hunt out Tallahassee Springs, they hunt all of Farsdale and the old Scotch property. There's people that hunt to the east over there all the way to Packard Bend. There'll be some of them sitting on a green patch, but they're not going to be bringing in those 4 or 5 year old bucks. Very seldom. Yeah. Very, very seldom. It's going to be the guys that somebody saw a deer in that area, and they get back over in there and they end up shooting that deer. Kansas will ruin you in some ways, Mike, and you'll know this. It'll ruin
no
you.
Crap.
but what the one thing I took away from Kansas that you can apply right here in Alabama is if you ever figure out your travel corridors on a given piece of property, where a deer is going to go not 100 yards, but if a deer's going to travel, think about it. Now, that deer's walking along there, and in an hour's time, that joker, he can cover a lot of ground.
Absolutely.
But if you've got those travel corridors, and I feel like just about every property's got them, and you got them figured out how these deer travel, that's where you want to hunt.
Don't disagree.
It's not going to be through a green field. It might happen to be behind a green field in one geographical area and one, you know, vegetation or wood type joins another. But you got them. I know good and well the property I've been hunting all my life up here. I can tell you right now, Mike, I can say, hey, I want you to go right over here and climb a tree. Your odds of seeing a buck this afternoon are about 7 out of 10.
Right.
And that's pretty good odds.
Yep.
And it's almost foolproof. But to come out there, are they going to, you know, the does, again, in Kansas, you learn this, the does are not social. When they're getting close to getting bred and they're paired up with the buck, that dominant buck, they're not out there with a bunch of other does.
Right.
They're doing their thing. They're off on their own. And those are the kind of places you want to be looking for right now. Well, okay. Later on. It ain't quite that time yet, but later on.
All right, coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, and our buddy Jay Graddick from Skinner's Wild Game Processing talking about the rut. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along. Remember, too, you can always check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Now, there's one, the big FM Talk 106.5 one, but then put Outdoors on it. There's yet another Facebook page.
Right.
So check it out there as well. Speaking of Facebook pages, too, always a fun follow. Skinner's on Facebook.
Get to see what everybody's killing. Yep.
Yeah. Jay, y'all got pictures up there people look at.
Yeah, we don't take as many as we should, but we do post some of local folks and people that come by and bring us a beer, and it's always fun.
Absolutely. And right now they're bringing in some big ones. I know you said they've killed some big ones so far this year.
Yes, they do. You know, we ask our customers. Some of them don't want to really talk about it very publicly on where they're killing the deer, but we take pictures of a few.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna challenge my team over there to take more. But it's not really reflective. What we have on our Facebook page is nowhere close to being reflective of what's coming in Skinner.
That's right. You know, we go back to talking about, you know, killing deer out of green fields or killing them in the woods or whatever. You know, there's big ones killed in the green fields. There's big ones killed in the woods. There's big ones killed hit by a car. I mean, you know, every scenario, you know. So you just the main thing is you got to go hunting. You know,
right.
And if you like hunting in green fields and that's what you do and you're successful at it and you killing big deer every now and then, hey, that's where you go. If you like hunting in the woods and not being on a green field and you're successful killing big deer in the woods, that's what you do. You know, so everybody's different on what they like. But I almost bet you money majority of the people are hunting green fields nowadays. That's just, and a green field with a feeder. At the end of the green field. I mean, that's just what I'm going to say. Yeah. 90% of the people do nowadays, and not to say I mean, they're successful. I mean, they kill big deer, but also the people hunting in the woods, they kill them too. So I mean, there's no exact science to deer hunting. That's for sure.
No.
You know?
And just
like you said too earlier, all the deer don't come to cameras, and that's another thing that we proved. At least I proved to myself out in Kansas. You see deer that they don't come to the cameras. You see them other than the camera. They just hadn't come to the cameras, you know. So that's a fact. So
I tell you, we could learn a lot from Auburn University, Mississippi State University, if people have time. You're interested in deer movement and all that good stuff. Just. Go to YouTube and listen to some of the studies that they have, and listen to it with an open mind. If you listen to it with your already predetermined mindset, it might not do you a lot of good. But if you listen to it with an open mind and understand what their research has proven, you'll come away with a whole different attitude. I mean, I have a friend that. I called him up today. Say, hey man, what you doing today? Well, I thought about going hunting, but I ain't got no deer on camera in the last couple of days. I ain't going.
Yeah.
Well, look here. You mind if I go?
Yeah.
You know, and he never says, "Yeah, go ahead."
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. Camera dictates everything, but anyway.
Yeah, I mean, this especially this time of year, just throw the camera away. Just about go hunting because you don't ever know when, especially one's going to come in that you have never seen on camera that's coming from 2 miles away.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I remember, I don't know, this has been 10 years ago or so, I guess. My grandson Dylan killed one that was, I mean, it's the biggest one that we had seen on that property. Ever, and he came in at like 10 o'clock in the morning with a doe on a green field, and I had to wake him up to shoot the deer. But anyway, he ended up shooting a deer, and we got to looking at the cameras. That was before we had cameras that came to your phone. You know, it was just cameras. You go out and check your cameras, get the SD card out of it, and check it. Well, I checked the SD card, and that night that deer came in that green field. And he came in that night. He came into my neighbor's green field. So that deer was seen 2 times on the camera before Dylan killed him that next morning. And where that deer came from, we have no idea. My neighbor never seen that deer before. We'd never seen that deer before. So bottom line is you just got to go hunting. And it was like 10 or might have been 10:30 in the morning. We were still in the shooting house. And most people for sure get out of shooting house in the morning by what, 9 o'clock or something?
Usually they're gone at 9:15.
Yeah, and probably the reason I didn't get out and go because he was probably asleep in the chair or whatever, and I said, well, I had no reason to wake him up. We ain't got anything to do anyway. So, you know, you never know.
You never know. You never know. let's touch on, okay, that big buck walks out there and you shoot at him and you think you hit him and you go over there and you don't find much sign, or maybe you find just a little blood or hair, and you have, you know, your reservations about, you know, if you got into him good enough to worry about or not, and of course you're feeling bad because you might have lost a deer. So what do you do next? I promise you, you need to have your dog guy. You need a relationship with that dog guy and have him on speed dial, because it's happened to me in the last about 5 years. I've had to call the dog guy 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
And every time, the first time it didn't work out, but every time since that, the guy, let's see, 3 out of 4 of those deer, the deer were still alive. His dogs bayed the deer, and we were able to go kill it. Okay, and so the odds of me finding that deer, if I'd have went looking for him, I'd have probably jumped him and probably would have never found him.
Yeah.
So, and get your dog guy and your get that relationship built. There's some good ones out there. If you run across a deer up there around Skinner's Wild Game, give me a call. I can put you on a couple of different ones that are been very good. They're in it for the love of the dogs and the hunt, and they're not going to charge you out of the world. Just something to pay for the time and their.
So what do they normally charge, Jay? Just roughly, what would you pay them?
It depends on the track. If it's a quick track, $100 are happy. If it's something that's going to take them all night, you know, you give them $200-$300, and they're plenty happy.
Yeah, and that's well worth it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about it, guys. You spend all this time, you spend money on a club or property taxes or whatever your cost is. You've been feeding the deer, more than likely, but driving away from work or away from home, and you got a big investment in hunting. And then you shoot one, and maybe you gut shot it. Maybe you shot it low brisket. Maybe you shot it like I shot one the other day. It went in right behind the shoulder, but I was too far forward, and it came out the front of the brisket, so I really didn't get in the vitals. But they baited that deer, and it didn't take 5, 6, 7 minutes, and they baited him. And so went in there and finished him off, and it was well worth it to me.
Yeah, so you didn't have much blood to follow.
Not much at all. I found one little piece of bone and just a couple of little misty spots of blood. It wasn't much at all. And I'm like, no, I ain't even going to try to find him.
So when the dogs found him, would that deer, if the dogs hadn't been there and bait him and probably grabbed the deer, would that deer been able to get up and run away, you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you would have probably never found that deer.
No.
Yeah.
No, my odds of finding that deer very, very remote.
So that's a good thing to have a tracking dog, but also one that obey. I guess.
When he comes, he's got one dog that's real good on the track, and he shows up with 3 dogs, and the other two are good bay dogs, and they'll grab that deer by the ear, they'll do whatever, and they'll keep him there. And every now and then they'll jump the deer run again, but they're gonna bait him again.
Yeah.
But anyway, you go through all that, and you know it recover the deer is a good thing, or you shouldn't have pulled the trigger.
Yep. Absolutely. You know, what we all would have paid through the years to have that. I mean, I don't care if you shoot them with a bow or gun or whatever, you're going to have some get away from you. And I've had several of them that get away from me and not have anybody that I could get a dog to, you know, find a dog to come and try to track him, and it's not ever find him.
You know, one thing, too, is like calling Skinners and getting somebody, but social media, good thing is if you go on Facebook and stuff and look for, you know, Alabama deer finding dogs and all that. So there's groups and people posting, and you can, you know, you can probably find somebody in your area, or they may know somebody
in the area.
They may be like, I don't work over there, but you know, call old Mike, call old Jay. You know, they got some dogs.
Well, that's right. That's right.
But that's great to have that. I mean, that's a good tip for people to have. I know we tracked one time. My brother shot one. And we looked for him and looked for him. We couldn't find him. We found somebody had a dog. And that dog tracked that deer probably at least three quarter mile from where we stopped looking for him, through every kind of thicket you go through. And we finally found him. We would have never found that deer had it not been for that dog. There's just no way. Dogs definitely, if you got one around and you can't find that deer within 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you need to stop and go get a dog.
That's right.
Yeah, especially if he's a good one.
Well, in all cases. Come right back. More of our conversation. Jay Graddick from Skinner's Wild Game Processing. It is Rut Talk here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you along. Also, our buddy Jay Graddick taking a second there at Skinner's Wild Game Processing to talk with us about the rut, getting those deer killed. It's not just that Jay is a professor of this like you are, Mike. I think it's, I'm going to just get down to it. Jay wants us to kill more deer, so we bring more deer into Skinner's. I figured you out, Jay Graddick. I have figured you out, man.
Exactly, buddy. Bring them up.
But listen, don't put me in the same category as Jay Graddick on deer.
Oh, no.
Jay Graddick is several levels above my pay grade, I promise you.
If you come look
at my wall of shame, fame, or whatever you want to call it,
deer, strong wall.
Is absolutely, you would look at my side and say, boy, that's some really good ones. Then you look over at Jay's side and say, I don't think I ever want to look at Mike Ward's deer again. Jay's got some monsters.
I've been lucky, man, Mike. I swear to goodness, I've been a lucky man.
You have been, and let me tell you, I mean, I've seen and put my hands on several of the deer that you've killed, and let me tell you what, there ain't many people in this country killed any better deer than what you have. I mean, I see some on Facebook and stuff and different media that – it looks like they've killed some really good, but I know you have, and I know you are one heck of a hunter.
Well, I appreciate the compliment, but I tell people all the time I didn't have anything to do with how big them horns were. You know?
Yeah, well, I tell people Jay is a hunter, but he's more of a killer.
Oh, Lord.
There's a little difference between a hunter and a killer.
Yeah, it's just the environment you grow up in, I reckon, but.
I was thinking about this for a second, too. As we think about the rut, and you're talking about where you're going to hunt, something that just comes to mind this time of year. Back in the old days when I'd go to Mike's shop and save up my money, and I remember my dad saying, you spent what to buy deer pee, son?
Yeah.
The Tink 69 back then. It was if I had that and I had a film canister and a cotton swab, I thought – I'd put that baby out, and I'd, like, get ready.
Yeah, it's coming. Any minute.
I'd get on that rifle. I'd be like, right, he's going to come.
Yeah.
Are y'all using any kind of doe scent during the rut at all?
I'm not. The only thing I do anymore is, of course, I got a pretty good supply of them, is I cut me some tarsal gland to help with my scent if something were to get down range of me or if I – you know, Mike, I like to grunt. I don't care to grunt call, but I grunt and I snort weeds with my mouth. And a lot of times that deer, when he approaches, he'll want to circle and get downwind of you a little bit. And I'm conscious of where I think my scent's going. And if I'm going to shoot the deer, I try to shoot him before he ever gets there. But if not, I got those tarsal glands that I got out around me.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Mike, when I was a young guy and Mike Ward Sporting Goods opened up, I remember going over there and just in awe at the deer heads you had at your place. So don't get yourself short there, buddy.
I got some nice ones. I do admit, I do have some nice ones, but they don't come nowhere close to what you got. I promise you that. Nowhere close.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know anybody. I do not know anybody in any of my range of friends that have killed as many quality bucks and big bucks as you have killed. And I know a lot of deer hunters. Nobody. I've got a couple that maybe would come semi-close, but no, they don't come to what you've killed.
Really?
No. Well, especially with a bow. I mean, a lot of these people that I'm talking about, they're gunned. They've killed them with guns. But I know what you've killed with a bow, and no, I know nobody that's close to you killing as many big bucks with a bow, period.
Well, I am so lucky because you know how I do it. I mean, when you go to – if you go bow hunting with me, you better be ready to climb a tree, clean out a tree, hang a stand. I don't have ladder stands sitting around. I don't have food stations sitting around, all that kind of stuff. But I got to give it to my buddy Dave out in Kansas. He's been a good friend of mine since the 80s. And when non-residents could kill a buck out there, he said, get your bow and get your butt out here. And so I really got to – he opened the door for most of that success with the bow that I've had. So
right.
And again, it's strictly just opportunity and being able to make it work. Okay, so but you know, we're fixing to come up on a time of the year where if we don't talk again between now and the end of the season, the cheap seats is what I call it, is if it, later on when it really fires up heavy, if you don't have activity going on in a couple of hours where you're at, when have plan B and plan C in your mind and plan to hunt all day long.
Yes.
Some of those deer that you know about, Mike, was a result of me climbing down at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, moving half a mile or whatever, climbing back up in a tree and got the deer dead by 2 o'clock.
Yeah, and you contribute that this time of year, I guess, with maybe there's not a hot doe where you're at, so you're not having any activity. You're going to get down and go somewhere where you're hoping maybe there's a hot doe over there. Is that what you're thinking maybe
absolutely.
This time of year?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, if you sit there you sit there 2-3 hours and nothing's going on, odds are it's happening. You're just not there. You're just not where it's happening.
Right. That's a good tip.
So
Yeah. And move. All right. Before we wrap up, too, once people use these tips and whack them a good one, how they find you at Skinner's?
Man, come on up here in Thomasville, right there off of 43. Right across from Hardy's, take a left, go west, come to a four-way stop. We're right down there on the right. Everybody in town pretty much knows where we're at if you have to ask somebody. And you can look us up on our Facebook page. And then also in Daphne, right there on 181 in front of my house, I got a big freezer cooler. We don't skin deer there, but if you got ice chest deer, you can drop them off and we'll get them back to you. And then at the end of the year, if you kill a deer up north, and when we call you, tell you that it's ready, just let us know if you want to pick it up in Dan. We'll get it down there for you.
That is convenient. Jay, as always, I appreciate our conversations, and we'll talk again. Maybe even talk turkeys coming up.
Thank you,
Jay. All right, buddy. We're ready.
All right. See you later. Jay Graddick, and we're going to wrap it up for this week. We'll see you next week for another FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.